And good morning, Mr. Abras. Waiting for that recording in progress. It just signaled that we're of record. I want to remind you that because you are the only one speaking, you have 15 minutes for presentation of your argument. There is no rebuttal feature to that. And before you begin your argument, please state your first name and indicate which client you're speaking on behalf of. I will ask our marshal to call the final case for oral consideration for our purposes.
Now calling case number A210366, Shelley Kiley versus William Kiley Jr.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is John Abras. I represent the appellant, William Paul Kiley Jr. So really this case is about the proper interpretation and application of the Minnesota Harassment Restraining Order statute. As a statutory remedy, a Minnesota district court has a limited basis on which it can issue a harassment restraining order. And our argument is that in this case, that the district court failed to follow the harassment restraining order statute, and that therefore the HRO should be overturned against Mr. Kiley. Basically the HRO statute requires findings that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the respondent has engaged in harassment. And in this case, the district court did not make those findings.
So let me just be clear about your argument. Are you saying that under no circumstances, Mr. Abras, can the parties come in and waive the provisions and stipulate to the issue of an order for protection? Or is your argument that the judge didn't follow their agreement? Because I would hazard to guess that there are judges all over the state of Minnesota right now that are doing just what happened here. The parties reached an agreement and the judge said, okay, I'll issue an order without a finding. That's different than whether his order reflected what their agreement was. But I just want to make sure I understand. Are you arguing that the parties were prohibited from coming to an agreement of some sort in a general sense?
So no, Your Honor, that's not our argument. The argument here isn't, it's not that they can't do that. It's that in order for them to do that, Mr. Kiley, in this case, would have had to have knowingly waived his right to have a hearing and have findings made. So it is possible that, yes, the parties could come to an understanding and a judge could issue, the district court could issue a harassment restraining order. And also I would clarify that, yes, in this instance, we also are saying that whatever was agreed to or whatever the parties talked about wasn't what the court issued, but no, the parties can, could waive their rights. In this case though, Mr. Kiley did not waive his rights in a way that would, he did not knowingly waive his rights in a.
What exactly did Mr. Kiley agree to?
Well, so if we look at the transcript, he was agreeing to a mutual order where the court says, quote unquote, or quote, everybody has their space. And the court further stated, we will find that the parties do agree to the issuance of a restraining order between them. So in other words, it would be a mutual order restraining both parties.
Well, you're talking about a harassment restraining order, right?
Well, the court never uses that term when talking about what they were agreeing to.
But that was the kind of hearing it was, wasn't it? A harassment restraining order?
Yes, it was, Your Honor. Yep.
So what other interpretation would you make of that?
Well, I guess my interpretation would be that it would be some other kind of order in which the court is saying, okay, you guys have to stay apart from one another.
Well, what kind of order would that be? I'm at a loss.
Well, I would say, Your Honor, I'm kind of at a loss as well, because the HRO statute is very specific. It says you have to have these findings. And my understanding would be the only exception the court could allow for is if there is a knowing waiver of the respondent, which in this case would be Mr. Kiley. At the district court level, he was the respondent. If he knowingly waived his right to have a hearing and have findings.
But when he agrees to having an order issued, isn't that a waiver? I'm not very sympathetic to the harassment restraining order, but I'm trying to understand the sense of what else the judge would do.
Well, to me, the judge would have had to walk through this with Mr. Kiley and explain exactly what the judge was going to do, which is issue a harassment restraining order, that he is in fact waiving his right to present his case, because that's not, you know, the court never asked him about that issue, whether he wanted to forgo the ability to actually argue about this and have the court make findings. And then furthermore, you know, he was not represented, so he didn't have someone that was able to give him any legal advice at the time so that he would know, okay, yes, I'm agreeing to a harassment restraining order.
Well, are you suggesting that there should be some sort of protocol that every judge should go through every time there is an agreement on a harassment restraining order?
I think so, because mainly because the statute says that a harassment restraining order requires, you know, reasonable grounds. And so there has to be something if we're going to, you know, get around the statute or have some exception.
Isn't an exception an agreement?
Well, I think it would be a knowing, there would have to be a waiver, though, of the right to the hearing. Or the right to have findings made, or, hearing both of those things is whatever, you know, a respondent has the right to have happen.
I'm trying to figure out a remedy here in context as to how a district court would do this. Just knowing the nature of court actions, somebody comes in and they agree to a harassment restraining order. Do we expect the district court to go through some lengthy protocol before they issue an order?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, I think what would be appropriate is that, you know, the judge simply point out that, well, one, make it clear that they're issuing a harassment restraining order. I think looking at the transcript, that was kind of muddled, that an average person might not understand that this is still going to be a harassment restraining order, that the judge also explained that they have the right to present their case and have it decided, and that they are waiving that. And that,
Mr. Abress, in many ways, I'm sympathetic to Mr. Kiley's position. Harassment restraining orders are likely the type of case in which people choose to represent themselves and they don't have legal guidance to their detriment. But I do not know of any authority, and I'm asking you if you can point me to any authority that sets up these guidelines that you're suggesting needed to be implemented here. I don't see them in the statute. I don't see them in terms of our own court rules. What would you point to that would support your client's position that this hearing was not as he anticipated it to be without representation, and he now wants another chance at it?
Well, Your Honor, I can't point to any specific authority that would support what I'm proposing. I think the main argument I would make is just that, you know, the statute makes it very clear what is required for a harassment restraining order. And I would say, first and foremost, if that's not met, generally speaking, you know, the judge doesn't have the discretion to issue the harassment restraining order without making the findings that reasonable grounds exist. Or reasonable grounds to believe.
But even in terms of collateral consequences of a harassment restraining order, a court is not presently under any obligation to say this could happen or that could happen if you end up having an agreement, even if it is by mutual consent. So that's where I find your argument unavailing, because I don't know of any authority that we can force these requirements in connection with findings of fact, other than the fact that you're client perilously chose to represent himself.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the only other thing I could point to, Your Honor, is, you know, the authority that we cited in our brief with regard to kind of the general idea of waiver. So, you know, relinquishment of a known right. Just kind of that general principle that, you know, someone can waive a right they would otherwise have. And a court could, you know, a court could make a ruling it's otherwise not allowed to do under a statute. But it does have to be a knowing waiver. And I just don't think we meet that standard here, or that the court got a knowing waiver here. But yeah, I don't think there's specific authority to support what I proposed. I just think had something like that happened, that would have met the requirement.
Essentially, what I'm hearing you argue is that there could be better practices implemented.
Essentially, yes, Your Honor. That would be an accurate characterization of what I'm saying. And so, yeah, and so, I think that's kind of our main point. And then just to kind of address what's been brought up a little bit here, what the actual agreement that was reached, which was, everybody would have their space, the parties have an order between them. And I think one, it's likely that the district court couldn't have issued an order against, Shelley and Kylie, because Mr. Kylie had not filed any sort of petition against her. So I don't know if the court would have even had the authority to do that. But the court was saying, and what the parties agreed to, was some sort of a mutual order against each other, that they just wouldn't bother each other. And so in that sense, too, the court didn't really follow what the parties actually agreed to. And so, so essentially what Mr. Kylie would like is, for this court to overturn the order and, essentially put it back to the point in the case prior to the order. And so, Shelley Ann Kylie can decide whether she wants to proceed or not, but he has the opportunity to present his case if she decides she wants to proceed. But other than that, I don't have anything else to say. So if there are any more questions, I can answer them in my remaining time.
I have a quick question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Judge Flory.
So I also understood one of your arguments to be, Mr. Abris, that the court here in the issue, in the order that was issued, did make findings of fact consistent with the ex parte order that were not admitted to or agreed to at the hearing. Was that part of your argument also?
Honestly, Your Honor, I don't recall if that was in the brief or not.
Fair enough.
Off the top of my head, but I would argue that, there were no findings of fact at the hearing itself. And obviously, the ex parte order wouldn't have had any evidence presented against it.
All right, thank you.
So, yeah.
And Judge Smith, you had a question also?
I was just wondering, your basis for what would you ask us to find as the basis for reversing this if we were to do that?
Well, I think it's just that the statute wasn't followed, that the court didn't make the findings that there were reasonable grounds to believe harassment had occurred. So it was essentially an error in applying the statute, and that there was no waiver.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else, Mr. Abris?
And then and nothing else, Your Honor. That's all I have.
All right, with that being the case, I thank you for your appearance on our Zoom platform today. The matter is submitted for court consideration, and a decision will be issued within the statutory timeframe.